You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On KCOP, which is a channel which kind of specializes on the live news in L.A.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
Not a bad idea.
Hey, you guys can always hit us up, 404-741-0929, and we invite your phone calls as well as text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And follow us across all social media platforms, guys. You can hit us up, 92.9 The Game, on Twitter. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. We are still looking for a name for our brew, and we invite you to do that as well. When you go to the website at 929thegame.com/name our beer. So many great suggestions, by the way. Thanks again to Oconee Brewery, who's putting the Dukes and Bell beer out, and more information coming. But we're looking for a name. We're still searching. We got some great entries, Mike.
Unfortunately, guys, some of these ideas are so great, they've probably been used before. We have a lot of creative people out there, over 300 entries. Go to, again, 929 The Game and name the beer and check that link from our buddies at Oconee. How about this? Dukes and Bell cease and desist, Blondale. Because just based on the fact that a lot of these names have already been chosen. So grab yourself a D&B, C&D.
Yeah.
Or that too much. Never mind.
It'd be a who, what?
Yeah, cease and desist. You know what I mean?
Say it again. It'd be a what?
No, it'd be a Dukes and Bell cease and desist.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to get the letters there.
I don't know, man. We're trying to, I mean, we might just wind up with Dukes and Bell, Blondale. It'll be elegant in its simplicity. Either way, we'll work on that, and we'll be out at a Coney Brewery before you know it, so you guys can sample it.
No doubt, man. Keep it simple, stupid. Hey, man, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Dan Quinn today talking about his team. OTAs continuing today, and one of the things we've been talking about is Jake Matthews saying they're adding some wrinkles to the offense. A guy sent us a video of Matt Ryan throwing a ball to Grady Jarrett. He said, there's the wrinkle, guys. That's the wrinkle they've added.
I love it. 97 now is going to be our wideout. It's going to be our new – what are we going to call this package?
Who knows, man? Listen, we use Dontari Poe in the goal line situations. Listen,
we're going to run Howard's Rock. Grady's Clemson guy.
Yeah, Grady's athletic. Mm-hmm. But Dan Quinn talking about the fact that the young guys that he's drafted are now becoming vets and leading the way, talking about the leadership.
The development side is a part that, like, I really enjoy as a coach, because you really see them grow in your system with your alerts, and so kind of almost like they don't know any other way except the way that we do it. So Dion specifically has had one hell of an off season, but so is Keanu. I mean, I just feel their intent. I knew it right when we came back. I could see their intent to go for it.
So, listen, I think, you know, when you start talking about the makeup of this football team, and you, Mike, you said it, the brotherhood. And what is it really when you talk about the brotherhood? It's guys playing for each other. You know, we tried to discuss this the year we go to the Super Bowl and kind of what it meant. And people around the country, some people got it, some people didn't. But I do think it's real, and I think that, you know, when you start talking about his first draft class, that Keanu Neal class where we had four rookies that helped us go to the Super Bowl, and now those guys are leaders in their own right, and they're leading the way. And now you've got another class that's coming in, and a guy like Deidre Sanat, who Grady Jarrett talked about today, who's going to be helping out on that defensive line. As young as our defense is, we're not young in the sense of experience. Now you got a lot of guys that have big game experience on that defense. Here's Grady talking about Deidre Sanat.
I mean, he's, you know, tough competitive guy, and you know, just want to be out there with us every day. Working through some things, but, you know, I'm excited to see him grow as a player, and I know it's going to be a process as it was for me, so, you know, have patience with him in that sense of it, but, I mean, we got good players across the whole line.
We'll get a chance to catch up with Grady tomorrow at our fifth annual Celebrity Golf Tournament over at Top Golf.
You know, we've talked a lot today about, you know, who's there and then why we want to see Julio out there. Again, if the offensive performance, Carl, and the production is there in this offense, I'm not sure we'll ever get back or eclipse the 2016 performance of Shanahan that was Matt's MVP.
You mean the numbers?
Yeah, stat-wise. That was right up there with, like, the greatest show on turf. We're talking about the Rams and the elite offenses of all time. But if we get back there, and like, more importantly, as long as we're winning games, and even if Julio doesn't get score more touchdowns, and Calvin Ridley's getting his, and Hooper becomes a bigger factor holding on to the football in the red zone, and we're winning, then we can all laugh, ha ha ha, about what we talked about back in May and June. But I do think there's something to be said for finding out what Sark has got up his sleeve and getting Julio on the same page with it. I don't think there's anything wrong in asking that as a fan.
No, not at all. And I don't think there should be any problem if you are asking that. Story number two, Mike, you mentioned this to me. It's the Braves. They lose last night, guys, but it was really about Julio Teheran. He got shelled, man.
Gave up three home runs, right?
He did. Three home runs. It was a 7-run fifth inning. Braves lose 11-4. They'll play the Padres tonight. It's Sean Newcomb on the hill, but we find out news about Julio today.
Yeah, 10-day DL. He was at a bat and apparently hurt his thumb, but he was already throwing batting practice before his thumb injury took him out of the game. Snitker in the comments said, yeah, he just didn't have any velocity. And so we lose to San Diego. Still up in first place over the Nationals, and that's good news. But San Diego, after having a sluggish start, is now 7-3 in their last 10 games. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I know, you know, as far as the Braves are concerned, as well as we've played, especially coming off of 3-4 winning against the Nationals, Padres have been playing well, too. So we'll see how things shake out tonight. Hey, story number three, man. We had a chance to catch up with Darren Eales, and you'll hear Darren coming up here in less than 10 minutes. And I do want you to hear from our goaltender, Brad Guzan, talking about this tough stretch, still being able to get wins. But, you know, Darren talked about trophies. And tomorrow, Atlanta United taking on Charleston Battery, 7 o'clock pregame. Kick is at 7:30. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will have the call for you. Here's Brad talking about this tough stretch.
We knew this was a difficult run for us in terms of the quality of opponents that we're playing, the amount of games, obviously being in the middle of summer. All those things kind of add into it, but we've got a job to do, and that's about going out every time we step in the field and trying to get 3 points.
Yeah, we got the points. I mean, Mike, maybe we didn't get everything we wanted in that match necessarily offensively from our team, but we got the 3 points. Brad also talking about trophies, and this is something Darren talks about with us, something you'll hear coming up.
It's not going to be easy. We know that. And like I said, anytime we step on the field, we want to make sure we try and win the game. And now being in a cup competition, it's an opportunity to hopefully progress in the tournament. And ultimately, you know, you want to find yourself in a final.
Now, as we said, in the UK, you got the FA Cup, where basically all the different levels play each other, and that's basically what this is, in essence. Charleston was our old farm team, for lack of a better word. Now, of course, we have Atlanta United 2 that plays up at Coolray Field in Lawrenceville, but those guys will be motivated tomorrow night up at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. But if we can handle our business, we'll see some of the you know, the guys, the backups, if you will, the peripheral players, Andrew Carlton, et cetera. And then the New York City match, as we said, you'll hear from Darren coming up. That was the best, most playoff vibe, the most intense match I've seen at Mercedes-Benz when we played New York City earlier this year. And now we go to their house, again, Yankee Stadium, and it's a funky vibe with a very narrow field.
Hey, man, another story we've been following. Travis Slink came on our radio station and talked about the NBA draft. The Hawks have the 3rd overall pick, but something we learned today is they are thinking, or at least, you know, looking at all options.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means they might trade out of the pick.
What?
And potentially gain some other assets, meaning you still would pick in the top 10 guys. Maybe they move back 2 or 3 slots. But Travis Slink talking about it with our morning show, and he also talked about a few players today. Here's Slink.
We're down to 3 or 4 guys, I think, that we're kind of looking at seriously with the 3rd pick. There's going to be options for us to maybe slide back a couple spots. So we're going through the process of trying to evaluate what it would take from a package from another team for us to do that and what the group of pool of players that might be available there to see if any of those scenarios might be attractive to us.
So we also found out, Mike, today that Travis Link says that Trae Young will work out before the NBA draft for the Atlanta Hawks. So, again, I don't know how high you are on him.
Well, we were very high. I think all the guys, think about all the guys that we talked about over the course of the season. Start with Marvin Bagley. Then we talked about how great Trae Young looked. Then we got into Colin Sexton after he shut down Trae Young. Then we got into the DeAndre Ayton conversation. You know, I guess you could argue, Carl, that if you don't like Doncic and you presume that Ayton and Bagley are gone, 1-2, Phoenix and Sacramento, then you could trade back. You think people will be cool with that? I'd love to get Colin Sexton and pick up another, you know, big piece. I like Sexton. I think he's got some swag. Some guys think if you want to get that biracial angel we've been joking around about that brings the entire city together, and you'll find that next Steph Curry. But isn't everybody looking for the next Steph Curry?
He's a biracial angel.
Everybody is looking for the next Steph Curry.
Well, do you think he's that guy?
Well, he averaged 27.4 points a game in college and led Division I in scoring. The problem was he didn't get to showcase that in the tournament in the biggest moment, and so now some
people... Same goes for Ayton, remember, because they got beat by Buffalo.
Some people are doubting, you know, whether the kid is that good. I will tell you this. You know, when you start talking about how good players are in college, and I think this is where, you know, we start talking about what players are going to become. Nobody knew Donovan Mitchell was this good when he was at Louisville. Nobody. And he comes in and he kills the NBA. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, well, I didn't see this at Louisville. That don't get caught up in what you're seeing in college when a lot of times It's the system. Or it's a guy not being able to do what he wants to do, or you think, well, he's not as good. I'm just telling you, that's an example. I think that Trae Young's a flat-out scorer, and in the NBA where it's wide open and you can create your own shot off the dribble, he's going to get his. I'm not worried. If we were to take him, I would not be have a problem with it. But I would love to have two-way guys, Mike, and that brings up a guy like Colin Sexton. The one thing we did learn from Travis Link today, or not, excuse me, not Travis Link, David Griffin, the former general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was there a couple of years ago when they won the championship. He said in his process of scouting and looking at all these players that we're going to talk about in the draft that Luka Doncic is a very good offensive player but doesn't play a whole lot of defense.
You know, Luka's special good in terms of being prolific at a young age. To be EuroLeague MVP like he is staggering at that age. I don't think we've had an international player come here more accomplished at a younger age. That's never happened. He's a special passer. The player that I kind of liken him to in terms of pace. Now, when I say this, I don't mean the MVP candidate version. But the player he's like somewhat is James Harden in terms of the pace he plays at. And that also means that he's really not a defensive presence. So it matters for fit for Luka.
Now, we've been talking a lot about what you do with that third pick. You want to play defense. You've heard our new coach say that defense is important. That's part of what we're going to build around as we try to revamp this team. I mean, we've got a guy in John Collins. Some say Bagley, there's redundancy there, although some would say Bagley's got a higher upside. Ayton would be that big, grab the boards, and he'll work on his offensive game. The same thing you say about Bamba.
Mo Bamba.
From Texas. And yep. He'd have to really, I mean, his offensive game is non-existent. He'd have to develop it. I don't know, man. I mean, Colin Sexton I like. I get it. Trade down. Can you... You think after all the work and all the stuff we argued about tank, you think people have a problem if you trade it out of three?
I think most Hawk fans want to take three and run with it, right? The problem is if you're a general manager and somebody comes to you with a great package, you can't not look at it.
Well, if you're trading down, Schroeder's gone then, right?
No doubt.
Because then you're going point guard, period, which I think is kind of a foregone conclusion in the minds of a lot of Hawks fans anyway.
Well,
there you go.
Listen, that's how I feel. I don't see when the season rolls around. If he's here, I will be surprised. Hey,
well, so will I.
It's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
If you're one of these folks who's stuck in traffic, you normally don't listen to Dukes and Bell. This is where we give you a chance to win money by texting the word I'm about to give to you to a secret number. The word is surf. S-U-R-F. Surf.
Charlie, don't surf.
Text that to 72881, 72881. It's our national signing bonus contest. So if you're new to the show, this is your chance to win money.
I am an FBI agent. Sorry, we're big fans of Point Break. Surf goes to 72881.
By the way, the remake sucked.
Absolutely sucked. You don't mess with that, man.
The remake was terrible.
Bodie, people trusted you and they died. You got to get down. Surf. You send surf to 72881. And then you wait for a phone call, and if you get the phone, answer it, man. It could be our guys from the corporate with $1,000 for you.
By the way, speaking of TV shows, Bo, have you – I'm late to the party. I'm flipping through. I'm trying to find something to get into. This Lost in Space show.
Everyone's raving about it.
It is really good. Really, really
well,
good.
Well, man, is there any car chases in it?
No, man.
Any lesbian scenes in it?
But I
ain't seen it then.
I found myself – have you seen it, Bo? Have you watched it?
I have not. I'm stuck in Westworld right now.
It's good, too. Now, I'm not caught up on it.
By the way, Westworld Sunday, holy moly.
Yeah, see, I'm not caught up on it.
Ain't going to tell you much.
Okay, don't tell me. Anyways, just giving you a tip, our TV tip here on Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up.
One thing we can all agree on, guys, there's between you throwing live sports, your favorite teams, there's too much stuff. You don't have time and there's not enough hours in the day to watch all the TV shows.
My DVR is filled up. And now you got, you know, Hulu and Netflix and all that stuff.
And now we got a new soap opera called Where's Julio?
Yeah. Hey, coming up, Darren Eales joins us next to talk about our Atlanta United with Dukes and Bell. Darren is here. Hey, Darren, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Good afternoon, chaps. Yeah, doing well, thank you.
Big win, Atlanta United against Philadelphia. But I just saw this, and I'm sure you are aware that Joseph Martinez... the MLS player of the week with the hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? That was his fifth hat trick. And to put it in context, I mean, he set the record in MLS in only his 35th appearance, but he's only had 31 starts. So you think about that. He's practically scoring a hat trick every six games, which is just unbelievable. It's just totally incredible. And, you know, fair play to him. He's just a lethal finisher.
And we saw that in the penalty kicks, and obviously a very bizarre start to the game. And we've had some scenarios. We think about the Vancouver game and how it worked out for us. This one was just kind of strange. Were you surprised it went down the way it did? Again, there was a yellow card, then there was a combination of stepping inside the box and then some cuss words I guess you can't drop on an official.
No, and again, I think it's hard to speculate because I don't know exactly what the referee gave the second yellow card to Bedoya for, but you know he was blatantly standing in the area. And then, again, I think in this day of VAR, anything like that which is seeking to sort of delay the start to try and influence VAR is going to get frowned upon. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that was sort of one thing, but then what happened after that with their number six, he just totally lost it. And, you know, you just can't have that behavior on a pitch. And to be fair to Jeff Lorenowitz, he did a lot of favors for the player because it looked like it was going to be something really nasty, whereas if he'd have actually hit the ref, obviously, that would have been something really serious. So they're down to two men. I'll give them credit. They played really well with nine men. I mean, nine men's a difficult one to play with at the best of times, but they put two men up front and they just sort of went for it up front. And I think that sort of put us on our back heels a little bit. Obviously, we got the win, but it wasn't, you know, Tata after the game. You know, it wasn't our greatest performance by any means. Mm-hmm. But at this stage of the season, you've got to get the wins. We're back at top of the table. We'd had a game since I saw you guys last on the Wednesday night that we totally dominated and somehow managed to only come away with a point. So, you know, at this stage, we'll take 4 points from those two games, be top of the table, and look forward to US Open Cup tomorrow and then a really tough game at Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, that was New England, the game that Darren's alluding to. And then obviously the game that we just watched with Philadelphia. Mike and I have gone back and forth on this. Just want to get your opinion on it. You know, it felt like we probably should have scored more goals. That's just me watching and going, you know, we had opportunities again, but is that accurate? Or as you just said, maybe we're not giving Philadelphia enough credit?
I think it's a bit of both. I think Philadelphia really did give it a go. And I think even our players would agree with this. I think, you know, psychologically, it's sometimes difficult. You're two men up, you sort of drop your intensity. And I think that's what happened, certainly in the first half. We weren't circulating the ball. We weren't really pressurizing them. We were leaving it to individuals. Second half was a lot better. We hit the bar a couple of times, you know, so we could have had more goals. But I think, you know, it is difficult from a psychological perspective when you're two men up so early on because, you know, the reality is you sort of take your foot off the gas a little bit. And that certainly happened. And we can't afford to do that clearly on Saturday at NYC because, you know, they're a team that's won every single game at Yankee Stadium. They're used to that, you know, very difficult playing area. And we were poor last year there. So we've got to try and sort of, you know, forget the past of last season and play a lot better.
And that's the thing we've been describing to the listeners, you know, and we try to use a basketball analogy because otherwise I'll get tangled in the language and butcher it. But we said in the half court, we seem like we're trying to find that finish, you know, whether it's Barco or Miggy or getting to Joseph. When we're in transition and Gressel's bringing the ball down the side and the service is fantastic. Is Philadelphia just parking people and that's what caused that sort of like, apologize the language, constipated offense at times?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think it was a case of because when you've got nine men, there is no real pressure on the ball. Mm-hmm. We could circulated at will, and that sort of lowers your intensity. I think that's where it has that psychological impact. It's almost like it's too easy, so you don't sort of step up to that 100% that you might be if it was 11v11. And look, I mean, not to overanalyze it too much because we still won the game comfortably.
Right.
We got the win that we needed. Joseph got his hat-trick, which is obviously great for him. But I think, you know, we're going to have to obviously play at a higher level when we play on Saturday.
It's Darren Eales, guys, president of your Atlanta United FC. And that's the thing. We're so spoiled, Darren. You know, between the 7-0 game last year and all the offense, we just nine guys. Oh, we're gonna pace these dudes. Same thing in New England, where hats off, by the way, to Friedel, who has a pretty good goalie for him, the Revolution, made some amazing saves in that match.
Yeah, I mean, that was a much better performance. I was really pleased with the way the team created the chances. So you ideally want to finish those chances, but the most important thing is you're creating chances. But, you know, we play that game 10 times, we win it 9 out of 10. And again, I don't want to hammer the referees because it was a difficult decision and there was some contact. But, you know, another day you perhaps don't get that penalty decision against you.
Right.
So it was one of those where once we missed the sort of seventh chance, you almost knew that was going to happen. It's just, you know, it was one of those games. But again, I think it shows how far we've come because this was a game where we went home really disappointed against a decent New England team on the road that we didn't win the match. And I think that speaks volumes for the team this year because I spoke about it at the game on Saturday. There was almost a sense of negativity around the results we'd had in the last four games, and we're scoring, you know, 2 points a game, which would put us on, at the moment, we're sort of going to be one of the best teams ever in the history of the league if we finish at that ratio. So I think it's credit that we've sort of stepped up our game, but now we've got to keep that going. We're only a third of the way through the season.
I want to remind you guys to follow Darren, if you don't, on Twitter. He's an entertaining follow. And certainly when it comes to soccer and our team, he's a fun follow. So check him out, man, if you've not done that. And don't complain to him. By the way, he said, complain to Carlos Bocanegra if you want to complain. Atlanta United, we kick off the U.S. Open Cup. What is this? What's our 11 going to look like? Because Mike and I were talking about this yesterday with starters and
international rules. Can't have all the international.
What's the complexity of what the 11 is going to look like?
Well, we're really excited about the game tomorrow. It's a different competition for us, and it's a chance to firstly win a trophy, which is what soccer's all about. So we want to give it a go. We want to try and bring a trophy home to our fans. The other thing is that, from our perspective, it gets us into Champions League. So if you win it, it's a ticket into the big dance. So we want to try and do that. Who, you know, your guess is as good as mine for the 11. You know, Tata's playing his cards close to his chest. Mm-hmm. So the difference from a regular game is we have five international spots. So that's three less than we have for an MLS game. And clearly there'll be an element where we want to play some of the fringe players, give them some playing time and rest some of our key starters. But I think you're going to see a strong team out there because, you know, Tata's no different from the rest of the club. You know, we're pretty clear that this is a possible opportunity for a trophy. We know it's a tough game. Charleston, you know, we know them better than probably any other USL team. They're going to make it difficult for us. We know they've got some good players. We know they're going to be good on set pieces. And this is a classic banana skin where if we're not 100% up for it, we're going to fall on our faces. So we've got to make sure that the attitude's right. And look, they were in training today, seemed focused, seemed like, you know, the lads are up for it. So I'm pretty excited. We've got a sellout crowd again, which is amazing. Our fans just keep blowing me away.
Right.
I thought that perhaps this could be a game where we played them last year. People might be tired of it, but no, they've sold the stadium out. And it's a lovely little stadium for us. It'll be a great atmosphere. Hopefully we're not going to get the lightning delay. So, you know, we're all set for what could be a cracking evening.
It's up at Kennesaw State, guys, at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. That's what Darren's alluding to. And maybe our buddy Romario Williams, Andrew Carlton, see a chance for some of those guys to get on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got all of those. One, I thought Brandon Vasquez, when he came on, looked sharp in the game on the weekend, so he may have a chance to play. But, you know, the big players are also going to be in the squad as well, so it'll just be up to Tata to decide how he wants to play it.
What are you going to do with the trade deadline? You got any plans?
Well, we open, so the window for us, we have a month in July. So it opens in July. We have a month where we can bring some players in. And I've mentioned this before, we always are looking to improve the squad. So, you know, we have a spare roster spot, so we have a chance to bring a player in. And that's certainly something we'll be looking to do.
Who's the best team you've seen, Darren? Is it Sporting KC? Is it the Red Bulls so far?
NYCFC for me, when they came to our stadium and they played a sort of toe-to-toe, I thought that's the best match that I've seen in Major League Soccer really ever in my time in watching it in terms of quality. I think, you know, KC are a good and committed team, but they had the breaks of, you know, what we spoke about before with some of the decisions there. I think Red Bulls are good. They press well, but they're a little bit inconsistent. I think NYC are going to be the rivals for us as we get towards the end of the season.
And that was the game, as Darren Eales joins us, president of Atlanta United FC, live in studio. That was the game that had the playoff atmosphere, the NYCFC game.
Yeah, I just think, you know, with the managers as well, you've got Patrick Vieira, who's a legend from his time as a playing career, a really good coach as well, against Tata Martino. I just think it had all of the feel from right from the very top with the managers that this was a game of, you know, two of the sort of bigger teams in MLS.
We were talking about this a little bit off air with Darren, how exciting it is right now in the ATL, guys, as we get ready to wrap things up with Darren. But, you know, our soccer team is playing well. We think they're a playoff team. There's still a lot of soccer to be played. But then, you know, you look down the road here and the Braves are playing well. And, you know, for us, this is going to be an interesting summer as we get back to fall and things start to play out, you know, in September for the Braves. And obviously the regular season going into late September, early October for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. You think about it with the Braves as well because it's a young team. So I like the similarities. You know, we've got a team that's a lot younger than the rest of the teams in MLS. And now the Braves are doing a similar thing with an exciting young team that's full of talent. So, you know, it's great for the city. We had the new coach of the Hawks at our game, who's a great guy. He came into the suite during the match. And, you know, so we're excited for the Hawks with their sort of draft pick and what might happen there as they rebuild. And obviously the Falcons, the only team in the NFC to get back-to-back playoff appearances. And, you know, we're excited about what could happen there. So I think it's a great time to be in Atlanta. And, you know, what I love about it is this chance to show the rest of the America that Atlanta is a great sports city. And, you know, all that nonsense that's written about it being a fickle sports town is, you know, it's rubbish. And I think we're going to see that now as a place where, from a sports perspective, it'd be lovely if all the teams could start to create some dynasties.
I love that New York Times article describing you as an affable attorney. And by the way, they didn't get the city necessarily right, but they got the whole mindset and your mission statement correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was impressive for us to get. You know, we got 2/3 of the front page of the New York Times. We had articles in the last week in Russia talking about it being the best atmosphere in soccer, they said, in the world. So what's been incredible is that world sort of focus now on Atlanta United and the city of Atlanta And that's the great thing is, you know, it's a story about the city. It's not about the soccer club. It's about the city and what a brilliant place it is to live and how people feel proud about it. And we're just fortunate to be sort of part of that vibe.
FIFA vote next week?
Yeah, big one for us. 13th of June.
What do you think?
Look, I mean, they did a technical report. So if you take that for what it's worth, it clearly scored the United North American bid way higher than Morocco's. Okay. So on that basis, you'd think that we'd get it. But of course, it's FIFA, so you never know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Carl, I mean, let's get real here. I don't put words in Darren's mouth, but I mean, there's. Would you rather be in Toronto, Atlanta, Mexico City, or would you, you know?
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Tangiers.
It's a no-brainer. Darren, thank you as always for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. Hey, let's have some fun tomorrow, U.S. Open Cup, and then again this weekend, guys, Saturday. It's NYCFC pregame at 12, kick at 12:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot.
He's a good bloke, that Darren Eales. Hey, guys, got a game winner for you for those that are still stuck in traffic today. Hey, man, there's so many things to watch, Carl. There's a million things on TV. We just talked about it earlier with Bo Morgan, who's in for Arthur today. What's the one show right now? I mean, right now, the one show you cannot live without between Netflix and Hulu and all the different networks. Only one show right now you cannot live without. And don't say Game of Thrones because it ain't on.
No, no, no.
Not right now.
No,
it's not on right now.
No, there's a ton of stuff out right now. It's hard. That is hard. 404-741-0929. You only get one show?
Yeah, only you're on the desert island right now. Only one show that's on right now. For me, we know we talk about it, Westworld.
Yeah. All right, what is it for you? I'll tell you mine when we come back here on Dukes and Bell.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
There can be only one. All right, now there's a million shows on. And no, I could say billions, but no, I'm going to go with Westworld. There's only one right now.
Okay.
And I got to be honest with you. I get so cluster sometimes. I can't make time for watching all this stuff and watch all the sports you got to watch. It's tough, brother.
It is tough. The show that we're currently into, if you've not watched it or had a chance to, The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm.
I would tell you, go back, watch season one. They're currently in season two. That's the show I would tell you right now, Mike. It's very good.
Oh, yeah.
But since there can only be one, because you're right, because I was thinking about all the shows that I'm watching. I'm watching bits and pieces. Billions, I haven't finished. Westworld, I still have episodes. Atlanta, season two. I'm into that. I mean, I'm all over the place.
House of Cards got canceled. I never saw the final season that Spacey was on, man. There's a million things going on. I know you guys are busy because you got kids. I'm just a single guy. Well, single married guy. No kids. With a cat. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got? What's the one show?
I don't watch too much TV. Too much no more. I listen to y'all all day long, which ain't nothing wrong with that. But
thank you.
When I do watch TV, I like football when football's on. Other than that, hell with it.
Daniel Jeremiah. That's our man. That's Jeremiah right there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening all day. God let him have a meter.
Hey, man, you're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got for the one show you're watching?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
So it might not be the best show, but it definitely keeps me a little bit interested. It's Bill Nye Saves the World on Netflix.
Bill Nye Saves the World on Netflix. Okay. Okay. Like I said, and that's the other thing, man, like Narcos. I was watching Narcos, and then, you know, once you kill Pablo, it's kind of tough to move it along. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
I mean, because the Cali cartel just ain't as cool as the Met. I mean, it is what it is. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You're only one show that's on now. What are you watching?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so I would never thought in a million years I'd like this show called Insecure.
Excellent.
Oh, the girl on HBO, right?
Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the premise on that, by the way?
Issa Rae is a single chick out in L.A. Who does community service. Okay. And it's based around her life and the characters that are around her in her life.
Okay.
It's just so hip and in tune to what's going on with today and the scene.
Gotcha.
And the culture.
Thank you. Hey, man, you're on the air, buddy. One TV show for you. Can only be only one. What you got? That's on the air right now.
Yo.
Guess he's calling us from somewhere in Hey Hyra. He's going to go with the Andy Griffith Show. Cannot miss Andy Griffith Show. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
It's Bob from Fayetteville, man. My girl got me watching Shameless. I can't stop watching.
Good show, man.
Yeah, I mean, like all shows, there's like a bit of a lull. Sometimes the writers maybe run out of some ideas. You know, I mean, remember Homeland kind of had an ebb and flow over the course of its run.
Shameless is good, though.
Yeah, man. I'm with you.
What? Hey, how many seasons was that? Like 7 or 8, right?
At least.
Yeah.
At least 6. I know that. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for only one show that's on right now for you?
Yeah, I got to watch the new Star Trek.
The new
reboot.
Where is that at?
Where's that at?
What channel? Well,
that's on CBS. You have to pay for it.
Oh, okay.
The way they did it, is awesome.
Interesting. I read about that Entertainment Weekly. I didn't even know that was on yet.
I didn't either. And I like Star Trek.
I hear you. Phaser's a stun. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Well, Bob, I'm going to have to go with the last OG, Bob. Starring Tracy Morgan. That guy kills me, Bob.
Ah, Stinger, you are tripping. That's
last OG.
Show.
Is anybody watching that? I mean, I've not seen it. That is Tracy Morgan's show.
It's getting decent reviews. I have not seen an episode yet. Because, again, there's no disrespect to our buddies down the street over there on 4. I mean, there's a million things to watch.
Yeah. And I like Tracy Morgan.
Hey, girl, come over here. Put a baby in your stomach.
Yeah, I'm not had a chance to see it. But if you've seen it, hit me up and let me know if you like it.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your one show?
That's you. I'm talking to you, sir.
Yeah, Into the Badlands on AMC. If you like the old school style martial arts type movie.
That's good. I've seen the ads for it, the coming attractions. It looks pretty wild, but I had a chance. Craig, you seen it, man? Samurai Warriors, the whole thing, with everything.
You mean Tom Cruise?
Not the Last Samurai.
Oh! I thought you said Samurai Warriors. Go ahead.
I mean, how's he surviving that battle?
That's my point.
They didn't have Bactine in the 1870s, for crying out loud. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
Great show.
Patrick John turned me on to that about the Irish gangsters in Manchester, which is pretty interesting.
It's good.
Yep. What's that? Yeah, but, I mean, Peaky Blinders is still on at somewhere, right?
Like the other show.
Netflix.
That other show, what am I thinking of? Sneaky Pete.
That's another one. with what's his face?
Another good show.
Oh, we just talked to Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
Is in it. The guy that was in Boiler Room, amongst other movies. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Only one show right now for you. What is it?
Hey, man, I'm watching that Gotham season 4.
Fox. Gotham. Yeah, well, you love Batman and all
Gotham.
That.
Gotham and Batman.
Yep. People seem to dig it. I mean, do you dig it? And Penguin and all that stuff?
Yeah, no. Gotham's a good show, man. I have not watched season 4, but yes, he's right. That is that's a good show.
Hey, man, you're on the air, man. What's the show for you?
Mindhunter.
Mindhunter?
Yeah.
What's it about? Where's it at?
It's on Netflix. It's about serial killers. Profiling serial killers in the 70s.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Interesting. See, there you go. Just add that to another 15,000 things we got to watch this weekend, man. There's not enough time.
What's that documentary you told me about I needed to watch? The last one you watched? What was that?
Which one? About Agnelli? About the guy? That's the one about the Italian industrialist.
Was it the Volkswagen one?
That's the one about Agnelli's Fiat.
Okay,
yeah,
that's right.
And that guy was an unbelievable playboy and then went on to run Fiat and fight the communists in Italy. It's a pretty cool story.
See, Mike and I do talk about other things.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. Oh, by the way, mentioning Agnelli in Northern Italy got me a lot of street cred.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you pulled that out?
Yeah, I pulled that card out. Oh, yeah, baby. Go with what you know. Always go with what you know. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your TV show?
Go ahead, man.
That's me and Beavis.
Beavis and Butthead. Oh. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got? Only one show for you right now that's on. Your chance to shine. You're killing the segment right now. You're killing your parents. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Dear White People on Netflix.
It's a very good show.
Is it funny?
It's a very good show.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, man, what do you say for the only show right now for you?
And yes, the show is called that.
Turn down your radio, you jackleg. Hey, you got the final word, buddy. Come on. Rock and roll. What you got?
Mr. Pickles.
I'm sorry?
Where is that?
Mr. Pickles. It's about a satanic dog.
An Adult Swim. I've seen the ads for it when I'm watching Rick and Morty reruns.
You're not familiar with that one?
No.
By the way,
I'm just waiting for Rick. It's official now. I've seen. And by the way, how cool is Delta? They had Rick and Morty on my Delta flight.
Oh, did
coming
they?
Back. Yes, I just watched a ton of Rick and Morty.
International flight, though.
I'm Pickle Rick!
Yeah.
And by the way, once Rick and Morty launches, we've got to get the creative team on here because it's done right. You know, it's part of the TBS Adult Swim. Hey, man, you got the final word, buddy. What do you got? Oh, for God's sakes, turn down your radio. You've got the final word. Oh, this is going to hell in a handbasket. You're on the air, buddy. What do you got?
Amazon, Man in High Castle.
Yes.
Based on book, and the premise is...
Oh, I know.
It's the Nazis in Japan won World War II.
Yep. It's the Philip K. Dick novel that they serialized on Amazon. Great story,
no,
man.
And the TV show is actually really, really good. Hey, some guy just... what's Chuckery say? Shoot a shot? Shoot the shot? Yeah, Gemini 68, Tanitra. Girl, your sports flashes are on point. It goes down so smooth. He just tweeted at us and Tanitra. Tanitra.
Right, Tanitra, we're going to need a restraining order from this guy.
We're coming back. We'll wrap things up. And we'll hand things over to Andy Bunker here on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.